This is Kenny Porter from SequentialReview.com, and you're listening to the Sequential Review Podcast. Thanks for listening. This is Kenny Porter from SequentialReview.com, where you can find reviews on comics, TV, movies, literature, all that jazz. I'm joined this evening with my fellow podcaster from my other show, our other show, Warp Whistle, Brandon Twa. Hello, Brandon.
Hello, Kenny.
Thanks for coming out all this way.
No problem. It was a bit of a hassle getting here, but
I figured.
Actually, on the way here, did you see that cop?
Yeah, dude, he completely bypassed. We were behind a cop at a railroad crossing while a train was going by, and the train, as soon as the train was gone, the cop did the classic, like, whip around through the barricades and lit up his sirens.
Like, yeah, no, he pulled up to that stoplight, and he was like, I don't feel like stopping. I'm just going to turn on my sirens and just go. Because I don't think he was actually going after anybody. I think he just flipped him on to get through the red light because he was
bored. It could have been. Which, that's not very heroic.
No, it's not.
It's not
Speaking
very heroic.
Speaking of heroism.
Yeah, because it's a good thing that we have heroism on our minds, because we just saw the new Marvel Studios film, Captain America, The First Avenger, directed by Joe Johnson, and Johnson, and starring Chris Evans, Tommy Lee Jones, and I feel horrible because I can't remember the girl's name, but, and then girl's name.
Something. Hallie or something. Captain.
That sounds about right. We'll get it right for the sake of being nice people. Hey, yeah, you're right. Haley something. This is what people tuned in for me to go Haley
something or other.
Haley Atwell.
Oh, yeah, well,
it was really good in it. But yeah, basically, it's the origins of Captain America, like, done for film, leading into World War II and everything, and the whole buildup of the evil military sect Hydra, and leading into the events that will take him into the Avengers. Basically, like, what were your overall thoughts of the movie? Like, what was your overall reaction after it was over?
I really liked it. I like the idea of it being a period piece too, and set in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Instead of them modernizing it or something.
Yeah. Cause it's something that hasn't really been done in the superhero, genre yet. And I really liked also the feel that it kind of felt like all those, like, 1940s serials.
Yeah.
That they'd play before movies, like, come join your fellow man in the war against Hitler.
Yeah.
We'll get them, boys. Like, the whole movie felt like that. Even, like, they had that short little segment where they showed those.
Yeah.
But just, like, the way that the whole movie was set up was, like, a really long one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'd do, like, really quick jump cuts. Mm-hmm. All the time, anytime they decided they wanted to go out and do this mission, they'd be, like, describing the mission, and then all of a sudden they're, like, halfway through the mission.
Yeah, they're already, like, they just already jump right into it. Stuff. Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that aspect.
And it was really cool how a lot of it was based, tied into, like, events that had happened in, like, Thor and Iron Man and everything with the cosmic cube sort of thing. The Tesseract is what they called it in this one. And how Hugo Weaving's character, Johann Schmidt, the Red Skull, had, like, been explaining that he understood all the stuff with the gods and Odin and everything, and he was going to use the technology against him. I really liked, like, they tied it all in without forcing it on anybody, especially all of the, like, Iron Man stuff, with including Howard Stark as one of the main cast members.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I think it was Dominic Cooper played him.
Yeah.
And he was really good. He played a good, like, snarky.
Yeah.
Like how Tony Stark would have been.
Yeah.
In the 40s. Like, that exact sort of thing.
Yeah. I think he may have been my favorite character in the movie.
Yeah.
And I really liked the scene where they find the cube at the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, like, that naval suit on with the turtleneck.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he's just on a boat. It made me really want to be on a boat.
Yeah. And I'm just sitting there. And, like, yeah. I had already put in the description of this that there's going to be a ton of spoilers, so he's just sitting there, and they're like, well, we found this. Like, what else do we have to look for? Like, there's no sign of the wreckage. He's just like, keep looking.
Yeah.
Keep looking. A real big surprise was like how good Chris Evans was in it. Like how good of a performance he had. Because I'd never really labeled him as somebody who could give a performance. But because I had really only seen him in like Fantastic Four and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was real surprised at how well he did. Like how, especially how he played like scrawny, tiny Steve. And the effects for that, like I couldn't tell that it was a fake body on him.
I was a little taken aback. Being a skinny person myself, like when I first saw it, I didn't really like. I wasn't that impressed with it at first.
Because, but as you watch, like
it was the voice that threw me off though,
because
like I've heard that voice before, and it just sounds like somebody who's a little bit bigger, and like the skinny guy with this like deep man voice comes on, and just, like I was like, wait a minute. But and then I started to get used to the voice a little bit, and I was like, okay, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. It's probably because you're used to seeing Chris Evans as a full guy,
yeah,
and not as a teeny little,
yeah,
as a teeny little man.
I think they did a lot of like Hobbit trickery too, because
I think so too,
to make him look shorter.
Yeah, I was actually gonna say when we were leaving the theater that there was some Hobbit, there was some Bilbo effects going on. Some Frodo effects. Tommy Lee Jones was awesome.
Yeah.
Too, as Colonel Phillips. He had a lot of great lines.
I love Tommy Lee Jones. I don't think... I'm sure he's put out some bad movies before, too, but like, I love almost everything that he's in.
Yeah. He just makes, like... I couldn't really picture anybody else in that role, like, pulling it off like he did.
Yeah.
Like, that wonderful, like, just quick little comment when they're, like, storming the Hydra base, and that Hydra soldier's, like, reciting their oath, like, cut off one head and two more, and he shoots him. He's like, let's go find two more. Like, that guy's a bad. He's just such a dick. Or that whole, like... When he brings that doctor that steak, and he's like, what's in it? Cow? Yeah. He's like, are you trying to intimidate me? I bought you dinner. Yeah.
Whenever he's in a movie, he's like, he plays a character, but it's Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? That's fine. Because some people, like, with James Woods, you're like, if you're going to be in a movie, be James Woods. Don't be somebody else. That's why we hired you, because we wanted James Woods. Yeah, dude, he was great. Everybody, I can't really think of anybody who did a bad job.
No.
I was just really surprised because, like, I haven't been a Marvel guy for a while, mainly. This is what I was going to talk to you about at the theater, especially movies, because there's this thing, like, I'd always been more of a DC guy because DC characters are a lot more selfless, and they kind of act like their whole philosophy is, like, you need to do what's better for everybody. And, like, you need to step up and be a better person than what you are. Whereas a lot of Marvel characters are like, this is who you are, the everyday person. It's all about me. Like, for example, when I reviewed Iron Man 2, I got a lot of bullshit because I was like, you know, he doesn't really do anything heroic. And people are like, what do you mean? He fought all those robots. I was like, robots that were trying to kill him against people who were trying to kill him. Who were only killing people who were in the way while they were trying to kill him. Or like with the Fantastic Four movies, like where every problem they solve is a big, huge problem they created. And then people are like, you're heroes. It's like, not really. They fucked up the bridge. Like, like they almost killed all those people.
Like if that were true in the real universe, I think I'd be a hero.
Yeah, just to fuck things up.
Or even just like little things, little problems that I cause myself throughout the day.
Yeah.
Like if I burn my toast, I will take out my vengeance on the toaster.
And then everybody will be like, oh my god, he's so brave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, is, you know, Tony Stark is a selfish little dude and stuff. And I guess, like, in Iron Man 2, we're talking about this a lot, just because I want to compare it in a second to the characters. Like, in Iron Man 2, like, in the beginning, he says, like, I went over there and fought and helped, like, the soldiers in the Middle East. But you don't see any of that, of, like, the selfless stuff.
Yeah.
And with, like, Steve Rogers, all they did was build on the fact that, like, he didn't nest. Like, that great part where Stanley Tucci is just like, so you want to go kill Nazis, huh? And he's like, what? And he's like, no, I don't like bullies. Like, I don't like anybody. He's like, I don't want to kill anybody. I just don't like it when people are pushing people around.
Yeah.
Which is going to be, I think, a really interesting thing when they introduce him in the Avengers, because you know, if you think about it, America is kind of a big bully right now, like, yeah, throughout the war. Because in the comics, they play on the fact a lot that when he gets unbroke, like, when he gets thought out, he doesn't really like what America's turned into.
Yeah.
So it's not so much that he represents, like, how America should be. He represents how he thinks America should be.
How it was originally intended to, yeah, be.
The original ideals, like, back, yeah, there in the 40s, which I think is going to play really cool in the Avengers.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons, like, I really liked him as a character. Which we also got to see the trailer for the Avengers afterwards, yep, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed, like, it wasn't difficult not seeing Thor watching this movie, because they pretty much explain everything, but I think it would really help if you see Thor first. I haven't even seen the movie yet. People tell me it's pretty good, but I would watch it solely just to know, like, more what's going on with the cubes and everything, because, like, all of what the Red Skull is doing is based on stuff from, like, Odin,
yeah,
and everything in the gods. And there's a very, like, weird scene at the end where the Tesseract, like, completely activates, and there's a big, like, cosmic thing, yeah, going on.
But yeah, I haven't seen Thor either, but it was easy enough to accept.
Oh, yeah.
To understand what was going, mm-hmm, on. But I think it probably would help if,
yeah,
you had seen it.
Mm-hmm. They pretty much, like, in the Thor movie, it's all based on the fact that they're trying to explain, like, the gods through science.
Yeah.
And that's, like, immediately, like, the Red Skull was just, like, only idiots think magic is magic, that it's actually just a kind of science thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was also cool that it wasn't a Nazi, like, that Hydra, that they really played up the fact, because a lot of people were just, like, always fighting Nazis and stuff, but Hydra doesn't hold any of the same ideals as the Nazis. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't care about a perfect Aryan race or anything. He just thinks that the people who have the most power should be in charge.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool to see, like, an even more powerful force, like, an even more evil force than the Nazis, be like, oh, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, I am going to take you out.
Yeah. And I think people are kind of getting sick of the whole Nazis as enemies thing.
I think that,
I mean, it's the go-to enemy.
Oh, I know.
Everybody hates Nazis.
I think that Nazis have been killed in games more than zombies, because then there are even Nazi zombies in games that, like, take over both. Like, I think it's, like, the number one thing that people fight in video games and in other cultures.
But not for Goombas for me. I've killed way too many Goombas in my life.
Too many little mushroom men died of that. Yeah, I just, like, overall, I was just so surprised. Like, I went last night at the midnight showing, and I went tonight. Today, it's Friday. Well, technically, it's almost 1 a.m., so technically, it's almost Saturday the 23rd. But I went at the midnight showing on Thursday and then tonight. And it was just like, this is the first movie all year where I've gone and seen it twice. Because I was just like, God, it made me, like with the old Indiana Jones films, it was just like, because those were based on the old serials, just that good old fashioned, like, action adventure with the, like, cheese
Come
put
on,
in.
Boys, let's go get them.
Yeah.
Go
get them, boys.
I really liked the montage scene where they were destroying all those weapons factories.
Oh, yeah.
That was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to put together that team.
That ragtag team.
And my favorite thing about that team, I love teams, first of all.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing about that team was the guy with the mustache.
Dugan.
The military issue bowler.
Yeah.
Like, I think that we could win so many more wars if we all had military
bowler
issue
hats.
Bowlers.
He had his rank stitched on his bowler.
Yeah, because that
and
thing,
he always just wore that striped sweater. He even wore it to the meetings and everything. He wouldn't wear anything else.
And just intimidate the enemies. Like, look at their fashion sense. I can't put up with it. I'm wearing these stupid little leather goggles. I look like I'm gonna whip my girlfriend later or something.
Yeah.
Some masochistic thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the Hydra guys were very S&M looking.
Yeah.
One thing, like, that was an interesting aspect of it was, of course, like, the first thing anybody thinks when there's a superpowered, like, person who could win a war, they won't let him go fight, is how can we exploit him to make money?
Yeah.
Like that, which was really funny. And he had, like, the classic old costume and shield while they're, like, doing all the dancing and everything. And that was, and, like, doing movie serials with him and stuff. Where he was, like, leading the guys.
That was a cool thing, too, that they added.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that. It kind of put him out of his element.
Yeah. And, like, man, like, people were finally respecting him, but he felt it was, like, kind of the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I love how the suit was kind of, like, that same stitching and stuff as, like, actual... Have you ever held, like, an actual military-grade American flag before?
All the time.
All the time?
Yeah.
Well, you come from a family of military people in it, right?
Yeah, I've held them before.
Yeah, it was that same exact sort of, like, fabric and stitching on there.
That's another that thing, really too, cool. That was cool about it, is the color scheme that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they weren't... It was, like, the dull blue helmet that he had. And, like, it just seemed very 40s-like, because it wasn't bright colors or anything. It was all really dull.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about, like, the second outfit, the, like, belted up.
Yeah, and even the first time he went out with that blue, just the blue helmet with the goggles on it. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, where he just wore the leather jacket with the thing underneath.
Yeah.
That was nifty.
But I did kind of find it a little distracting that he was sneaking around a Nazi base with a giant American shield on.
Yeah. That was the only part, too. Like, when I saw it the first time, I was like, I would see that. Like,
yeah.
That would stick out to me, like, real big. But yeah, I mean, that was like, and that's, you know, that's just part of the story. It's just like, geez, he's sneaking in. I mean, it wasn't like he was being quiet. Like, he was, every single person he ran into, he punched.
Right.
Which
I did like the cheesiness of it, too, and the over-the-top aspect.
You need some cheese on good science fiction. That's just how you bake a science fiction pie, is with cheese on top.
Yep. I really liked in the montage scene, too, when he jumps on that tank that's, like, 3 stories tall.
Oh, yeah, the giant hydro tank.
Blows it up.
Yeah.
It was very comic booky.
Yeah. They weren't afraid to, like, celebrate the fact that it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also, a lot of people didn't pick up on this, except like when I mentioned it to you, you understood. But there's a part right in the beginning when Johann Schmidt is like, finds the Tesseract thing and says, and he has, and Hitler sends his men to dig for trinkets in the desert, like, which is almost like, I take it as a very, I know it hasn't been officially said, but I take it as a very like direct reference to Indiana Jones and like all of the Nazis digging for the occult stuff there.
Yeah.
And it's also cool because in a reverse sort of fashion, the Red Skull existed first. Like, there was already, like Captain America wasn't like, oh, I got made, and then a bad guy was like, I can do that too.
Yeah.
It was like, he was already existing prior.
Yeah, I didn't really think of that.
Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just like, oh, I can be bad too, like every other one, like the bad guy sees what the hero did and then makes it.
Yeah.
Like, he was an answer. Almost like Mega Man, where, like, there's Proto Man first, and then, like, the Mega Man.
Proto Man was first?
Rock was built first.
Yeah.
And then Wily took the designs and built Proto Man as a weapon with the buster gun and everything that can steal stuff. And then
Dr. Light
stole that design and put it onto Rock. So Rock existed first, but he didn't have the combat stuff. It was Proto Man who had it first.
Okay.
Yep.
And Proto Man had the stylish cape first.
Oh, yeah, the scarf.
Yeah.
You gotta have a scarf.
Yeah.
When you got a cool helmet and everything.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This isn't Captain America related at all, but does Proto Man have eyes, or does he just have that visor thing?
I don't know. Because, like, for the longest time, I didn't really think, I didn't know that Mega Man was an actual kind of like a cyborg.
Oh, you thought he was a dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought he was a dude with a suit. But,
He always had the big legs, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought he worked out his calves.
Yeah. Like, he has his strong calves. It's not elephantitis. I just got Mega Man legs.
Yeah. I got the case of the Mega Man legs.
I got the Mega Mans. But yeah, as far, like, I wasn't excited really at all for the Avengers until I had seen this. I mean, I knew the Avengers was probably going to be pretty cool because Joss Whedon is doing it. And he's like, he pretty much like puts out good stuff about 80% of the time.
Yeah.
So I think that like he's written a lot of comics and stuff. I think he'll be able to do the whole team thing because he used to write X-Men a lot. So I think he's used to like juggling Marvel characters like in multiples.
Mm-hmm.
I still, like, it didn't really show much. Like, it shows, like, kind of like Loki is a villain, the trickster god, but it didn't really show, like, what the big threat was or anything. It was just, like, a nice little teaser.
Yeah. You had mentioned a couple days ago about how you think that, how you really like how Marvel is getting all of their characters together well in the movies.
Yeah.
And how DC is kind of slacking in that.
Well, they've just outright said they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
They're just like, no, everything will be separate. And I was like,
yeah.
You're just missing on the opportunity to world build and make it so much more fun.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, half the, like, the fun of this is, like, then you get to add so much more story because you don't just have to focus on one guy. You got Howard Stark there. Like, that, and that puts a whole new, like, imagine if he wasn't in the movie. If it was just some other scientist,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
That would completely change the whole tone.
And it'd just make it kind of confusing, too.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, some science guy and, who's,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's, like, yeah. Too many characters.
Yeah.
I do agree with the fact that they're getting their universe together very well, because this all started when the Edward Norton Hulk came out.
Yeah.
Like, they've been planning it ever since then and putting things
with
in the
whole
movies.
Super soldier serum that they give Tim Roth that's reverse engineered from Captain America's blood.
Yeah.
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 Which is why it doesn't work as well, and then he gets all crazy.
Yeah. Is it Iron Man where they find the frozen Captain America?
No, they never. They have that shield.
Or they show the. Which movie is it where they show the, or they show Captain America in the ice, or is that, did that happen, or did, am I just dreaming this?
I think
wasn't
just
there
dreaming
something.
This.
Wasn't there something at the end where it shows?
I didn't see one. Captain, I saw. Thor? Maybe it is. I don't know. No, I heard. Well, maybe I heard Thor was at the end of that was. Something else, but it could be. I don't know, because I didn't see Thor, so
yeah.
Maybe it was that they showed him. They always lead into the next movie with the tag at the end of the other one.
Yeah.
Which is great. And they do that old, like, 1960s thing, like, Captain America will return in
yeah.
The Avengers, like that. Like, James Bond will return in
yeah.
Octopussy and stuff like that. Yeah, they really, like, they've just been getting their shit together. Like, DC, like, I love DC characters and everything, but they, first off, they ruined one character with a Green Lantern. Nobody cares about that anymore, even if they make a sequel. And they refuse to tie it into anything else.
Yeah.
And now, like, they're going to do a new Superman movie, and this would be their chance, because Superman is, like, their flagship dude, to start including, like, mentioning other things in it. They're like, no, separate. Like, if we do a Justice League movie, it's just going to be the Justice League already formed, all different actors, as if none of the other movies have happened.
So stupid.
Mm-hmm. Because you have the chance to, like, do movies where, like, you can have a Flash movie and have Hal Jordan show up in it at some point and not have to be, like, because they've been in other movies together and not have to be like, oh my god, we need, like, there's no way that Green Lantern could show up in this movie while he's fighting this dude and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas otherwise then you'd be like, oh, he just showed up because they're friends. Like, like, he just called him in for help to do this thing. Like that, or
just
any of them just like
move a couch,
yeah, or any of them just like going to Bruce Wayne for something because they need money for something, which happens a shit ton in DC. Where like somebody's just like, we need money. He's like, fine, especially in like the Justice League shows. But yeah, they've really gotten their shit together, and once they have like a base Avengers team, I feel like they'll be able to add, because Marvel Studios owns Wolverine again, right? Because was X-Men Origins, was that 20th Century Fox, or was that Marvel Studios?
I think it was Marvel. All
right, we'll just check that out, because he eventually becomes a member of the Avengers, and I think I would rather see Hugh Jackman in Avengers stories than
yeah.
in X-Men stories.
It'd be really cool if Marvel did a whole thing where, and I know I've like said in the past that like Marvel or superhero movies are kind of dead to me.
Yeah.
Like, they've just been lacking lately, but I think this whole Avengers thing has kind of rebooted it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'd be cool if they, like, put out an Avengers movie every, maybe, like, 5 years, and then every, maybe 2 years, put out an individual character movie, just, like, put out another Captain America movie or another Iron Man movie. I think that'd be kind of cool, because it'd be just, like, comic books, the movie.
Yeah, that, hang on a second, I'm looking at.
It's like each individual character would have their own story arc going, but then you could also do a big Avengers movie every couple
No,
couple
they
of
don't.
Years.
See, this is the bullshit thing, is that they don't own Spider-Man or X-Men at all, because 20th Century Fox does, so they can't include them.
No.
Which is fucking stupid. Like, because Marvel Studios is independent of 20th Century Fox. They just have the rights. And so they can't include them in anything because Disney owns Marvel now. That's why the whole Walt Disney soundtrack thing was at the end.
Yeah.
So they can't. That's just, that sucks. Because I really think that it would be awesome if eventually, like they did, like they, because they're going to do another Wolverine movie and then at the end of it have, because like basically at the end of every one of those Marvel movies, you're just waiting for Samuel Jackson to show up. That's yeah. Like, he just, when he showed up in this theater, a couple of people clapped and stuff. Yeah. When I saw it at the midnight show, everybody was like going ape shit. Like, they're like, he's fucking there. And it was like, shit's on now. Like, it'd just be awesome to have him go into a bar and talk to him and ask him if he'd like to do stuff. Because in the comics, he worked for S.H.I.E.L.D. before he became a member of the X-Men. Like, because he worked for the government and everything, yeah. Like, throughout wars and stuff. Because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been around for a while. Like, they would just send him on suicide missions and stuff because they fucking just owned him.
Yeah.
Like, before he got his claws and everything, still, I think. He originally, like, his big introduction in comics was, like, when he fought the Hulk. So, like, that's, he wasn't even introduced in X-Men. He was introduced in an Incredible Hulk comic, and then they just, like, had decided he was a mutant and put him in with everything else. So, and since he's going to be in it, like, Mark Ruffalo is the Hulk, like, it would just be kind of cool. Like, even if there were just a movie where it's, like, they send him after him, or it, like, shows some clip where he's been fighting him and everything, like,
yeah.
A while ago.
Yeah.
Or just, like, flashes back to it, and then they all mix it in. But they can't. Because 20th Century, yeah, they fucked it up. You can't even have Spider-Man in there.
James Spader-Man.
So yeah, pretty much, do you have any other thoughts on the movie or anything besides it was...
Well, you said you had read a couple of Captain America comics, right?
I did read the new number one by Ed Brubaker, or Brubaker.
So you haven't read, like, any of the originals?
Old stuff?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Because I was going to ask you, like, whether you thought that they did a good... pretty good adaptation.
I know the general story,
yeah.
And for a movie having to fit so much in 2 hours, I think they did a good idea. Because are you asking me? Because when we left the theater, there was that super nerdy kid who was like, "Johann Schmidt isn't from Europe. He's like in the
oh, I didn't hear that. No.
Oh, like all these people are just walking by this kid with like obviously has no friends. Who's like has this big glass sound like Whereas, like, his thing was, like, even though it was an awesome movie, it wasn't completely exact like the book, so he was pissed.
Yeah.
And I guess I can kind of understand that, because I was really mad about Green Lantern, but I was mad about Green Lantern because the movie sucked.
Yeah.
So, like, it was a bad movie. This was a good movie. Like, the fact, you're going to have to change stuff. The Dark Knight, that movie, there's, like, that's just based, like, taking snippets out of different Batman histories. And pretty much what they did with this was they just took some of the other bigger plot lines and made it work as a yeah. big intertwining story. The only thing that I have against going and seeing the movie tonight, which wasn't even a part of the movie, was the couple that brought their tiny little baby.
Tiny baby, yeah.
That was freaking out.
He was very well behaved, though, I thought.
He wasn't loud. No. He was making cooing sounds.
Yeah.
But it isn't his fault. It's the parents' fault that they brought him to an action movie.
Would you say he was too coo for school?
I would say that. I would say that entirely, except that you said it first. So I would have said that, I think.
That baby was too coo for school.
Under the right circumstances. So yeah, I haven't really done any movie reviews on this podcast yet. So I don't know. So like, let's invent a system for rating for when I do this with other people for like comic book movies, or like movies in general. Okay, how about we go see it, don't see it,
or pee on it.
Or pee on it. Pee on it wasn't the one I was going to go to. I was going to say, or rent it when it comes out, because it's not worth seeing in the theater.
Okay.
And then there's the super version, where it's see it and then see it again by making a friend go see it who didn't see it with you originally, which is more complicated because that's saved for special time because that's down the bylaws. That's not one of the three. So would you say see it, don't see it, or wait till it comes out on video?
See it.
See it in the theater?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's fun, but preferably without a baby in the audience, even a well-behaved baby.
I had no problem with the baby.
No. The lady in front of me did.
Yeah?
Yeah. Also, her hair was too long, and it kept brushing over my leg.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah. And she just kept flipping it, and I was like, stop. It's touching my knees. It's weird.
There were a lot of, like, middle-aged people in the theater.
Yeah.
Which was surprising to me, because it's a comic book movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, Captain America is a really old character, yeah. So... Like, I did like how in the movie, throwing this back, that they actually put the comics in the movie.
Yeah.
Because he was, like, an icon and everything. So all of the soldiers, when, like, he goes to rescue him, are like, Captain America? Like, you're real? Like, I thought that was really funny. But, yeah, there were a lot of older. Like, there was that old, that, like, dude who had to be, like, 55, 60 in front of me. He's like, did you see Stan Lee in there?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. I thought that was pretty cool. For the most part, it was all young people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what about you? What would you rate it?
Oh, see it. I would do it. See it again with somebody who didn't see it with you originally, because that's what I just did.
Yeah. Tonight.
That's why I invented it, because I had thought of that. But that's because, like, that's what I do when, like, great movies are up. Like, I will go see it again with you just so I can pick it apart and so you can enjoy it for the first time. Mm. But I don't really have anything to pick apart.
Better the second time?
It was as good.
Yeah.
I kind of looked, like, whenever I see a movie, like, the second time I look for little things in the background, and my favorite things were, like, watching, because I had noticed when I had seen it last night, it was just so late that I couldn't pay complete attention to Hugo Weaving, because there were really funny little things that he was doing, like constantly readjusting his fake skin on his face, and then when he had that cannon and was shooting those Nazi guys, he missed that dude twice. It was like, like that, like, and then moved it. Sean went, all right, like did that, like, hit Bob, like, all right, I got him, I'm back in this. Yeah, I thought that was really funny in the background. Like, and it was weird because, well, not weird, I would say it was good because, like, the way he played him, it was, he didn't act like the Red Skull, like, he wasn't two different people, like, he was who he was. Like, he didn't, like, pull the thing off and, like, now I'm the Red Skull, like that or anything. In fact, he hated being called that, but he was consistently just himself, just disformed the whole time. So, like, he wasn't different or anything after he pulled it off. He still acted the exact same way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was cool.
Yeah. He didn't, like, have a crazy voice or something.
Yeah, like everybody else was like, now I'm Dr. Doom. Like that. Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? evidently he's a mobster now. Yeah, I'm going to stop Captain America, see? Yeah. Thinks he can stop me from peddling my hooch. We'll see who's the real American around here.
Come on, you sweet dame.
Yeah. Your dame? I kind of wish we could still call
Dames.
we can.
They don't like it. They should.
Because it's a throwback to the 50s, a much more proper time.
Yeah, it's not a derogatory term by any means.
I would call a chick a dame. I would call a girl or a woman a dame if they were like
fancy.
Yeah, in a nice dress with lipstick on. Maybe just that little hint of that foxy attitude.
And they're super independent women too. Like, I would definitely consider a independent woman very hard to get because you're just a lowly man and they're this highly woman.
A dame, okay. A girl. Goes into his bar and a little, like a proper dress, and a dame lays across the piano and sings a song in the bar.
Yes, while sucking down a martini. Well, not sucking martini, down, sipping.
Because you said sucking down, and then there was a pause. And I waited, and I was like, there's different words for those types of ladies.
I mean, sipping on a martini, because she's a dame, she's classy.
But, well, if she's a dame, she can hold her liquor, so she probably could suck down martinis. So.
Yeah.
All right, so any other thoughts on the flim before we call it a night?
I don't think so.
I need to get some sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on my podcast for Sequential Review. Well,
no problem. Anytime.
And everybody should check out the sister podcast to this, Warp Whistle. Would we call it the sister, or what we call it? It's generally sister is the term for the other, other side one.
Yeah.
The brother, the cousin podcast.
Nick is pretty feminine, so.
Okay, the sister podcast to this,
Sorry, Warp Nick. Whistle.
Yeah.
I am too.
Ah.
It's the skinniness. People just assume that
that
skinny means feminine.
Yeah, but Brandon, you could be a super soldier.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, oh, that's another thing that I really liked about it, is the whole him not being good with women.
Yeah.
I can identify with that.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the whole
scene. The most scary thing he ever faced was the girl who came on to him really strong.
Yeah.
In the military.
That is totally me.
Red Skull, no problem. Stood right up to him. Yeah. Like, took beatings from that girl. He was like, folding his arms like a little kid. Like, yeah, I guess, whatever. Like, that was really funny. Before we go, because I want to mention this, before I saw it, I loved the very last shot of the movie.
Yeah.
Where it's him in modern Times Square, and, like, Nick Fury's, like, explaining to him he's been gone a while and stuff. He just kind of looks around and gets really sad, and, like, well, he's like, what's wrong? He goes, I had a date.
Yeah.
And then it just cuts. Like, yeah. That's the end. Like, that. Like, instead of just some, like, I'm a badass or something like that, he's like, he's sad.
It's like you got Dick Wolfed.
Yeah. Dick Wolf.
Bum bum.
Yeah. Which is a term to Law and Order whenever they do, like, the big twist, like the sad thing at the end. But yeah, it was great. And we did a pretty good job on this podcast, I'd say, even though we're really tired. So go see it. It's a great movie. Take your friends to it. See it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I'm all about supporting good movies, even if they got a bit of cheese on them. You need some cheese on the sci-fi pie. So thank you for tuning in to Sequential Review, and I will see you on the next podcast.
Good.